Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. Joining me in the extra hour is Pat, Chris, and Steve. Thank you for joining us in the extra hour. If you missed the first hour, we talked about the awesomeness of God. We talked about crying out to Him. We talked about loving on seniors. Let me tell you, hug on a senior today, a senior citizen in your neighborhood, at your workplace, at the store. Let them know that you appreciate them and do something kind for them today. We also talked about electronic tattoos at the end of the first hour. Tracking. Listen, just rely on the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Thank you for joining us. You know, we're talking about hearing God's news behind the news. We have been talking about abortion and a lot of that's been coming to light. And, of course, with the Gosnell case in Philadelphia that set precedent, he was convicted. He was convicted of three life murders, and that's so important because God's allowing it all come to fruition, is allowing it to come surface, it's being exposed. And one of the things that they had questions about, and the Blaze is actually reporting this, that they reveal the gruesome reasons why Gosnell and other abortionists have been snipping the baby's spines when they were doing these abortions. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they understood, obviously, that this when you snip the baby's spine, you're actually killing the baby.
Yeah. Right.
But why were they doing this? And what they allegedly say is that the reason why they snip these the spines is that, and this is what the Blaze is saying, is that the doctors or the abortionists, I'm going to call them doctors, they find themselves with a conundrum when a baby is born alive. With few options, it seems neck snipping is a definitive way to end the lives of these children. Plus, Crutcher, a person they were interviewing, also noted that the procedure reduces doctors' chances of malpractice. Terminating a life once a baby is born is presumably easier and less riskier than doing so before birth. And although that doesn't mean these babies were purposely born this way, but it just says that this is what they're saying is convenient to do that. I mean, it's just absolutely horrible. And what happens is that they induce these women into labor, and they're anticipating and hoping that in this process that will cause the baby to pass away, you know, demise. And this is what they're reporting. But they're not wanting the baby to come out alive.
Wow.
But they're doing it that way. They're still doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they raise a question, you know, well, why doesn't, you know, like, what's going on with the woman at that time? And they're saying that oftentimes that she is under, you know, anesthesia. She has no idea what is actually happening. She has no idea that in a botched abortion, if you will, the baby comes out alive, that all this is taking place. She's probably heavily, you know, under medication.
Mm-hmm.
So this neck snipping thing is just absolutely horrible. And this is the whole idea of it. It's whatever's necessary. They said whatever's necessary to kill them.
Huh.
Think about that.
Awful.
And it's horrific.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, absolutely horrific. And they've been doing this now for quite a while. It's these late term abortions, and this is not a good thing. You know, this is not a good thing, but it's all being exposed. It's all coming to light. It's all, you know, God is allowing it. We've been praying this prayer for quite a while now, years. Dear God, end abortion, send revival. And we're seeing across the land these abortionists, these abortionists that are killing babies.
Yeah.
Staffers are being convicted. They're coming forth. They're sharing these gruesome practices. They're getting it out. And people are seeing, wait a minute, this is not a good thing. This is awful. This is evil. And listen, the Gosnell abortion clinic was called a house of horrors. A house of horrors. And we reported on BFN, we talked about maybe a week ago, how his wife, when she was sentenced, 7 to 23 months, I believe, when she was sentenced, she actually apologized for her participation in these basically assisted murders.
Exactly what they are.
She actually apologized. And she said that she realizes her husband is exactly where he belongs. And so this is what's happening. They're snipping the baby and the spines in hopes that, you know, not in hopes, but they're actually killing the baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's good news. In Florida, Governor Rick Scott just signed a bill into law. It's called Baby Alive House Bill 1129, and it was signed into law in Escambia County this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Greg happened to be, he was there. He was there at the signing of this bill.
That's right.
We'll have pictures available for you on the torch. Amen. But this is great news. Yeah. This is great news. The Florida legislatures came together, both sides of the aisle. I mean, they came together and said, listen, this has to stop. We cannot do that. Now, this law is going to go effect July 1st, 2013, so just in a few more weeks. But this is how they define the Infant Born Alive Act. This is a living, breathing baby that was conceived as a result of a botched abortion. And remember, we talked about this when the woman from Planned Parenthood was talking about, like, what do you do? And, and you know, if what if she lives in a rural area and it's like, does it matter? Save the baby, whatever it takes, you know, save the baby. Well, they define it. The Infant Born Alive Act is defined as this is a living, breathing baby that was conceived as a result of a botched abortion. A botched abortion means that abortion was meant to kill this baby, but the baby was actually born alive. So this bill entitles an infant born alive as a result of a botched abortion the same rights that a child born through natural birth is entitled to receive. That's beautiful. They have a constitutional right,
yeah, that's right,
for their life to be protected. And to be honest with you, you know, part of the Hippocratic Oath, it says, you know, I should do no harm. You know, I don't know how this has gotten past all of this.
Yeah.
This is the oath that the doctors take. But this is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God heard this. This is amazing. Mm. He heard our prayers.
Yeah.
And we're believing this is going to set precedent out of Florida and across the country and across the world.
That's right.
I mean, think about this. Any physician or person who willfully performs an abortion is subject to a felony charge.
Wow.
Felony charges. This is serious business. You are going. You're going to jail.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You're going to jail because you're going to be committing murder at this point.
And it's powerful too, because now everyone who is now committing this, who's doing this, is getting wind of this.
Oh,
and
sure.
Now knows that this is now changing the waves. Mm-hmm. This is now, like you're saying, this is becoming, this can be precedent.
Absolutely.
And will be used as precedent for those future cases for other abortion, like you said, I don't want to call them doctors, abortion medical people across the nation who are doing this. They're paying attention to this as well. That's powerful.
That's right.
Absolutely powerful. And we want to give a special thanks to Governor Scott, Congressman Ingram, Senator Eleanor Sobel, Senator Jeff Brandis, Oscar Brennan, Senator Flores, Senator Galvano, Garcia, Senators Grimsley, and Athenia and Joyner. We want to thank you for your leadership in this, and we want to thank all those that have been praying, and God heard our prayers. Let me tell you, this should be very encouraging. That we're seeing abortion come to an end, peace, you know, little by little, we're seeing it. And this is not, I mean, you say little by little, this is huge. This is huge. But we want to see it more. We want to see all of it just stop.
Mm-hmm.
All of it stop.
Yeah,
all of it stop.
Amen.
And we want to see revival come. We want to see revival come back to our nation again. We want to see our nation one. But when you see blood is being spilled out and you're seeing murders, how can God continue to bless America when we're killing babies out of comfort and convenience and throwing them aside? I mean, snipping a spine of a child that's actually born, that you meant to kill, but it was actually born.
Mm.
And then you're snipping the spine to I mean, it's horrific.
Yeah.
It's absolutely horrific. And so we are, these are specifically done in late term abortions. And my goodness, I mean, this is refreshing. I want to encourage you to continue to get this word out. Share this with your friends, your family, and spread it on Facebook and spread the torch. Because the more people get involved, the more people that understand how horrific this really is, you know, people will have the opportunity to be convicted by the Lord. They'll have an opportunity to repent. And you know what? We're believing that a whole lot more staffers are actually going to be convicted, and they're the ones who are going to, that's exactly what's been happening.
Yeah.
In many of these cases, is the staffers that are coming forth and are describing what's happened, and what happened the abortionist Carpin in Texas. Right. Staffers came out and they started sharing all the horrible things that they witnessed with their own eyes, what they were told to do, and they don't want to participate in that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find forgiveness. You can find healing. We have resources on the Torch that you can go to. Just go ahead and go to the Torch by going to VFNTV.com and selecting Torch. And in the right-hand corner, there's a search bar. And when you do that, type in the word abortion, and you'll see a lot of segments that we've done. And in those segments, you will see resources that you can go to if you yourself have been thinking about or you know, someone turning you on to VFN Radio and you're listening to the segment. Listen, there's help. You don't have to do it. There's different ways for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's different ways, and God can be there with you in this situation. But I just thought, what an amazing week. This happened last week. It's called the Baby Alive House Bill 1129, and it was signed into law in Florida. I mean, I just, how amazing. And it goes, you know, it takes effect July the 1st, 2013. That's just weeks away.
Yeah.
Days away.
Exactly.
It's actually going to take place, and we're going to see babies honored and life respected and before God. And I'm believing that as God sees this, he's going to continue to bless us and pour out his spirit upon us. But I'm so glad that Greg had the opportunity to be there, witness it. He was present. It was just an amazing thing.
Yeah, it was totally awesome.
Absolutely amazing. Well, Steve, I know that you had some things on your heart that...
Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's... you know, God's been speaking to me about, you know, I was sharing previously about, you know, offense and, you know, being getting just a pride out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading the word this morning, just spending time abiding with God, and it was just like scripture after scripture was just coming at me. And God just stopped me in 1 John 4. And 1 John 4, verse 16, on the second part of the verse, he says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And just right there, it was just like, do you live in love? Like, your life is love. Love is your life. Love is your breath. Everything about your life is love.
Mm.
And at that, I was just like, Lord, I got a long way to go. Lord, help me with that. So he says, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. He says, in this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. He said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. He says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. And at that, I was just like, man. And that really just totally grabbed me, because as I was just chewing on that, it's just like, God, I want to be made perfect in your love.
Mm.
And God just really began just revealing to me as the fact that, like, you know, you think about those moments when he says in Corinthians, when he talks about, you know, in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's through that, those seasons of humility,
mm-hmm.
through the hardships, through the testings, through the suffering, we're made perfect. And he just continued to speak to me. It's just like there is that connection in love, in humility. And mm-hmm. it's just like we want love, but it's just like there's that process of God, make me perfect in your love. And it's through that life in love that we're made perfect. And then God just reminded me about the process of that on the Last Supper. When Jesus was with his disciples, it talks about the fact in John 13, it talks about that Jesus knew where that he was from God, that he came from God, and that he was going back to the Father. Mm-hmm. So he embraced humility. And Jesus was able to embrace humility before his disciples. He was able to embrace the cross before all of mankind. But that was the most pinnacle display of love for his Father, mm-hmm. so that we would know love with his Father. And it talks about the fact that because of the joy set on the other side of the cross, Jesus was able to embrace the cross.
For the joy set before him.
For the joy set before him. And it's just like that's that disconnect that we miss. And God says, I want you to live a life of love, mm-hmm. because it's through my love that's what makes you perfect. And I just thought about a life of God. Can you imagine a perfect life in God, of how God says you have been made perfect in my love?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I just continued to look in that, and it's just like when you make a choice to give love, receive love, just be in his love, and everything that you do, you live a life of love, regardless of how it's given to you, regardless of how you're treated or anything, but you just choose to love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like that's that working. And you think about how God talks about that when he removes the imperfections of gold. It's through that pressure, it's through that hardship that the imperfections rise. And it's like that's the testing of us. And it's just like, will we submit ourselves? Because how we talked about in fear, it's just like the fact that it's like God was revealing to me that a lot of times when he'll reveal pride in my life, I'll get focused on, you know, the people that God has set up as accountability people in my life. It's like, well, God, you know, what are they going to say? You know, and we just start getting self-focused.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, if we would just abandon ourselves in his love and know the fact that it's not about fear. It's not about repercussions or punishment, because it's his love. It's the end. It's the end that makes it all worthwhile.
Well, perfect love casts out all fear, First John yeah. says. And once we're secure in his love, that's the whole thing. People need to understand that. It's a revelation to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so powerful. I mean, that's why I love the Gospel of John. It's full of love. First John is full of love.
Yeah.
It's about the love of God. If mm-hmm. if we are loving, then we're Godding, right? Because love, you know, God is love.
Yeah.
But it's that revelation that we're loved by God. Loved by God helps us to stand secure no matter what. Listen, other people may be wishy-washy with you, you know, and some people may treat you different ways, but when you feel secure and know that no matter what, at your darkest moments, God's love never changes. Mm-hmm. His love never turns.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. It's amazing. I read a book one time. Jim Baker wrote a book called I Was Wrong, and he was in prison. And he says that when he was there, he felt so alone. He felt so away from just the world and just everything. He was in just such great pain. And he says, but even there, even at my lowest moments, even at the darkest moments that I could ever imagine in my life, I knew God was with me, and I knew that he loved me.
Yeah.
People didn't love me. People hated me at this time. But I knew that the Bible was true. When the scripture says that there's a friend that sits closer than a brother. And so when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about this more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about the love of God, living in love, and living in God.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
If you make a decision without your spouse's input, it might be a recipe for conflict. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and wife and mom Mary Byers tells us how to avoid this predicament.
We have a policy at our house where neither of us accepts an invitation without first checking with the other person. Neither of us volunteers the other person without approval first. So I think policies are a really good way to be able to say no. Some of the policies I've heard people say, we don't answer the phone during dinner time. That's a way to create a boundary around the family. We don't buy anything with that's over $100 without first talking to each other. So policies actually can simplify some of your yesing and some of your knowing.
Some great advice there. And our family has benefited from having policies in place that we've agreed about. And you can find additional insights to help your family thrive when you stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook. And it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat, Steve, and Chris. And before the break, we were talking about whoever lives in love lives in God. If you live in love, you're living in God. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about what you were saying, Steve, was just so powerful because that word is oftentimes so, I mean, misconstrued, misused, abused. It's like, if that's love, I don't want that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that. And the problem is when we try to love outside of the standard that God's already given us.
Yeah.
You know, why are we, you know, let's go back to the standard. It's so easy for people to say words, I love you. What does that mean? Like, what does that mean? And love is an action.
Mm-hmm. It's a choice.
It's a choice. It's your volition. It's your will. You have the will to love. It just doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen with flowery words, but 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is patient, love is kind, It is not envy. It is not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Mm-hmm.
Love never fails. Think about that. All these things are action. When you're not being patient, that means you're not loving.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are being patient, guess what you're doing? You're loving on someone.
That's right.
You're loving on someone. Love is kind. If you're not being kind, that means you're not loving them. But you can encourage yourself that when you are intentionally doing kind acts, you're loving.
Mm-hmm.
You're loving, right? Mm-hmm. It does not envy. It does not boast. If you're prideful, you're not loving. This is about you. Love is always about others. Love is about you go first. And God's called us to be a people of love. If we're going to live in love, we're going to live in God. If we're going to live in God, then we've got to live in love.
That's right.
And part of being the people of God, if we know the Lord, one of the characteristics that we should have in our life is to be people of love.
Mm-hmm.
How could we love a God, the Bible says, that we can't see if we can't love a brother that we can see?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's your calling card.
That's right.
It's your calling card. And you can do a lot of things and you can learn about a lot of things. I'm always interested about those that are, it's like, and Ezekiel and Revelation. And I love Revelation and I love Ezekiel, but let's just focus here on 1 Corinthians 13 for a little while. Let's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mark Twain said, it's not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the ones that I do understand, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe it would do us well to stop trying to, you know, learn about God and get, you know, all of this information, but maybe we need to focus on getting a revelation.
Yeah.
You know, because God is not ever interested in us getting information. He's interested in us getting revelation so that what God has revealed to us can turn into a manifestation. It can manifest into our life.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we know something, not just in our mind, right? We have knowledge, consciousness of what we're learning, but we really know something is when we have it experientially.
Yeah.
When there's fruit in our life, right, then that revelation has manifested.
That's right. And that's what it says in the Word. It says, they will know them, or know you by the love you have for one another.
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to know what love is unless we actually
show it
in our own lives and towards others?
Yeah.
Yeah, love is
they'll be drawn to jealousy and they'll want to, what do you got? There's something about you that I don't know what that is. Help me out here.
Or something about you guys or you gals or whatever the situation is. You notice that when the love of God is around the family of God, people just look at it and say, now you guys don't know each other. You're just friends. What is that? You know, how are you guys so close and all that type of stuff? And it's like, it's just God. Mm-hmm. It's just God. It's the love of God. The love, the God in him is connecting with the love and God in me. And, and it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. And we need to be people of love.
Yeah.
We need to be people of love because
that's right.
That's the calling card. That's the trademark. And there's nothing more powerful. You can spend all your time trying to learn all these other things. And, you know, there's you can spend your lifetime and probably 100 lifetimes of studying the Word, right? But God doesn't call us to fall in love with the book of the Lord, but the Lord of the book.
You know
what I'm saying? And so many times people are focused on the book of the Lord. It's like, let's focus on the Lord of the book and what he told us. He says, love one another as I have loved you, right?
That's right.
Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done to me. And if we can get this, Steve, if we can really get this, how beautiful is that going to be? How beautiful is that going to be? It'll draw so many people to God because you're not, when you're loving them, you're guiding them. You're guiding them. But we have to remember that. We have to remember that in the midst of everything that God is saying and in the midst of everything he's teaching us and revealing to us in his word, that we can do a lot of things. The Bible tells us you can sing with the voice of angels. You can play instruments. You can do all these things. But if you do not have love, it's a clanging cymbal. It's all for naught. I mean, it's all for naught.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why even do it if love is not at the centerpiece? Why are we even touching it? Why are we, you know? Because everything about God is love. If we escape the love factor, then we've gotten totally, completely away from God.
Yeah.
There's not interest in what we can do.
It's like doing it without him, because you're not doing it for him.
Yeah, what are we doing it for?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I was like, well, I got it done. It's accomplished. Yeah, I see it's done, but now I want you to take two steps to the right. Do you see the trail of turn around? Okay. Do you see the trail of devastation that occurred behind you?
It's like, right.
You got it done. You reached the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Check. You can take it off your planner. But who? What did it cost you? What? Mm-hmm. Who got hurt in the process of that? We can't focus on getting jobs done. We got to focus on moving in love, and oftentimes, to love, we've got to slow down. To the pace of love. We got to slow down. Mm-hmm. We got to slow down. May mean that you may not check off a whole lot more things on your to-do list, but it means that what you do check off, you could say, I've done this with love. Mm. I've done this with love. It's accomplished. No one got hurt in this, and God was glorified.
You know, and it's like when I chew on that, like that's where God just really brought it to me, was the fact that that's when we have to trust God's love, because it's not the love that we expect. It's not. We have to just abandon ourselves in the refining process of his love,
mm-hmm.
because that's where it goes. And it's just humbling ourselves. That's when we're brought into his presence. And it's when we humble ourselves that he's able to come to us and be more like him.
Yeah.
That's where it starts. It starts with humility. It starts with love.
Right. Not just give love, but be lovable.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Be lovable. Says, I don't have any friends. Are you lovable? Are you lovable? And we that's the trademark. That's the calling card for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. That when living in love, we're living in God. Oh my goodness, powerful.
Well,
you know, when God's news behind the news, we talked about previously on VFN Radio about the giant mosquitoes and Pat. I mean, he is fully equipped. I mean, if you ever saw a person walking around with mosquito traps and fly swatters, Pat has a nice blue one that he's been, I guess, using in the studio here. We must have got a mosquito, but in Florida,
just trying to help you out, brother.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. As long as you don't hit me with it, we're okay.
I just gotta ask what a mosquito trap is.
You know, the little.
Right.
Uh-huh. Oh, the light thing that.
No.
That's a buzzer.
That's a buzzer
that's
thing.
That's a fly trap you're talking about. The little sticky thing.
The sticky tape. The tape.
That's a fly trap.
Well, thank you, Chris.
I do want to say, though, with the sticky tape, you don't want to put the sticky tape next to a doorway. Just for future reference, because people.
Will get stuck in it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just for future reference, write that down.
Only tall people have to worry about that. So did you get stuck in it?
I just want to just be open and be transparent, you know.
Next time that happens to you, can you please take a picture?
Don't put it next to your own doorway.
Oh, that's nice. But we're talking about these galley dippers, these huge, huge mosquitoes that we talked about would be invading. Are we done yet?
he's exercising his blue trap.
I see that.
He's got his blue trap.
I'm getting ready.
So they have invaded. They're here in Ocala, I believe.
Yeah.
And these things are huge. I want you to listen up. We're going to talk about this, but these things are big, and they hurt.
Whether you're on a downtown stroll, eating lunch outside, or playing golf, this summer you have a new friend to look out for. The state, considered by many to have the most bugs, is about to get a new tenant, a mosquito 20 times the size of the one you're used to that feeds day and night and has a sting some say feels like a poke from a knife.
We're used to the little tiny ones that go to the back of your knees, and this one's right in your face. It's aggressive. It's got a nasty bite.
Debbie Castle, a biologist at USF St. Petersburg, says the galley nipper mosquito first showed up after Tropical Storm Debbie. Experts believe the insect will invade Florida during the summer rainy season.
This thing's like a pterodactyl. in the mosquito world. It's huge. And for me, exciting. For most people, a little scary.
And for folks like Tom Steven, owner of the Buzz Off Mosquito Control, it means more work.
There's always a means to control mosquitoes. This mosquito, even though it's aggressive, we can still contain that mosquito by products that we have.
So bad news is this mosquito targets humans, animals, even fish with a sting that can penetrate clothing. But there is some good news. It eats the eggs of the mosquito we're used to, and it doesn't carry West Nile, encephalitis, or any other serious disease. Whether you're on a downtown stroll, eating lunch outside, or playing golf, this summer you have a new friend to look out for. The state considered by many to have the most bugs is about to get a new tenant, a mosquito 20 times.
Amazing.
20 times the size of a natural mosquito. It's the size of a quarter. You know how huge that is? Yeah, we're going to have a picture available for you.
Pterodactyl size.
A pterodactyl size, she said.
You got to get some more DEET for that.
Listen, they said cover yourself in DEET. It says cover yourself in DEET.
Get your bigger trap.
Get your bigger trap. Do something. They pokes like a knife. Mm. Feels like you're being poked with a knife. Now, the good thing is that apparently it doesn't transmit any kind of diseases and stuff. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you, to get 4 or 5 bites of those, you're done. You're down for the count.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, but think about this: 20 times the size of a natural mosquito. I mean, who would have thunk that? Right? Who would have thought that? And it just helps us to recognize that. Listen, you know, this is like kind of biblical proportion. You know, I mean, we've seen locusts already storm Egypt. Interesting. I think that happened before in the Bible. So much locust that they had to pull over. You got to see that on the torch. I mean, they're covered. They're huge. They were huge. Mm-hmm. Like little birds.
Yeah. Wow.
And now we're seeing these galley nippers. It's time for us to kind of like take notice. Oh, we talked about snails, large snails that were eating stucco.
Yeah.
Eating houses, eating stuff. I mean, think about all these animals and what's happening. And could it get worse? Could it get worse?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we talked about on VFN radio how the earth has not opened once, twice, but we've recognized at least 3 times and have literally swallowed people. One person went down 100 feet, his whole bed hadn't been found.
Right.
What is happening? Think about it. We saw another one on a golf course, I think it was in Illinois, where right around those 4 or 5 guys together and around one person just took them straight down. And that happened right after the one in Florida. And you just think about what is happening. What is going on? You know, it's all part of, I believe, the perfect storm. Missed it on John Paul Jackson. You want to search it on the torch and look for prophetic headlines and see this prophetic word. But it has all these components. Part of it is weather patterns and things that are happening in government, and is a multifaceted storm that's brewing and it's affecting different parts of the country. And it's all, listen, God's trying to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
These are the sign of the times. This is just the beginning. And what God wants us to do is just turn our hearts to Him. He wants us to recognize and say, a mosquito the size of a quarter. That's not human. It's not human, but it was saying it's not natural is the word I was looking for. That's not natural. It's not normal.
Yeah.
And just as easy, they said, this thing didn't appear. We had no knowledge of this. They didn't have any knowledge of this. But right after a storm came, these galley nippers began to appear, which seems to say that, you know, what if another... We'll have future storms. What will those bring?
Yeah,
exactly. That we had no idea about.
Yeah.
Those snails were brought, by the way, from another. That someone was visiting, and they brought them in their yard, and they released like hundreds of thousands of them. They were just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But someone brought them over
from another country.
From another country, and they just started multiplying, and they just went nuts down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were being hurled in lawnmowers and. It would be projectiles hurting people.
Wow.
I mean, it's serious stuff, man. Eating at your house. Listen, sign of the times. I think we just need to take inventory of this and say, God.
Pay attention.
I'm going to pay attention.
Yeah.
If you're not living right for the Lord, this would be a really good time. You know, some of us have wrote our stories down. You can go to meetmyfather.org and find out, listen, what we came to God. We have a personal encounter with the Lord, and you can read some of our stories that encourage you. But you don't want to wait, because if you wait, you'll be bait. I mean, it's too late.
Yeah.
The time, the day of salvation is today. Turn to Him while you still can.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. I was at the hardware store.
Wait a second.
Wait.
What? Wait. Back up. Don't even go any further. What was that?
Say that again.
You were where?
You were what? You were lost?
What?
I was searching hardware on Amazon.
Exactly.
No, it was. I actually was at the hardware store. And
did you lost? Looking for the barber?
This has to be interesting. He wanted excitement, right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
This has to be interesting.
Well, you know, it was. They have like tools and things there. And stuff. And I'm walking around looking at, they have like aisles and numbers and, you know, things that I've never been to. Anyway, I just stand there somewhere in an aisle and call the store. Hey, I'm looking for screws. Where are you? Hello. Anybody here? And I'm having to find, actually, Pat and I went to the store sometime back, this hardware store. I needed a drill. I got to have a drill. And we come out, and he comes out, and he's the one that bought a drill.
I didn't get a drill.
And if you don't have a teenage son, you don't understand, but you will one day. Just plan in your future to get new tools.
Yeah, right.
And, that old thing? He's like, yes, that old thing.
Yeah.
And so we walked out, and he came out with a real nice tool, it's drill and all that. But I realized later on, really? When I had to, I mean, that's a shame. There was a day that you actually screwed a screw in with the screwdriver.
With your hand.
You know, labor.
I thought about it. I pondered that before this, and I thought, I'm going to go get that drill. And I didn't know. There's two things that Pat introduced to me. Well, other things we're not going to talk about. But yeah, the two things.
This is totally a family program.
It's frozen. Oh, well, frozen food. I had no idea that you could actually, everything's frozen.
Frozen. Everything.
It don't matter what it is. I mean, I think his Bible
Chicken
comes out of the freezer.
Anything. Just
before he
in
abides
there.
In the morning, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer and puts it in the microwave.
It's defrosting.
I warm it up.
And the other thing was that everything, no matter what it is, if it runs on electricity, it also will run on a battery. I'm serious. Prior to God bringing us together, that when we were in the plastic fabrication business, he was a master fabricator, and I hired him to come work for me, and he organized all the inventory.
Scrap. Okay,
until you had your own company. And I just didn't know it. And he you have these drills, and you put a battery pack on. I mean, today they're commonplace, but back then, it was amazing. I mean, the battery pack was like a 15-pound battery. You know, you put a backpack or something to come around. No, but it was amazing. So you can get a battery for everything. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like taking a cord and plugging it into a receptacle to know that you don't have to go, I can't believe this battery's not charged up.
Yeah, right.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, he has not been introduced to the extension cord yet. So everything's on batteries. I mean, as a matter of fact, you should have a battery car. You and President Obama, you know, he has a new car industry now, runs on what are the batteries? Everready's or something? The Everready car?
I don't know, but, you know, he's very, I think that'll fit you, Pat.
Mm.
I can see him stuck on the road somewhere. Oh, this battery wasn't charged up.
That'd be my luck.
How often does he move? That's what I want to know with that battery. I mean, I don't know. Need a super duper battery for that.
He's so far back from the motor, he probably can't even hear it run. So he's probably thinking about it.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat, Steve, and Chris. Before the break, we were talking about galley nipper mosquitoes, 20 times the size of a natural mosquito, and they hurt.
A pterodactyl mosquito.
A pterodactyl, she said, mosquito. And it pokes like a knife. I'm telling you, you better break out the winter coats this summer, because you might get bit. Just make sure you put some spray, some DEET, something to protect yourself. But you know, still God's news behind the news. This is an interesting thing that's happening in Israel, where Paul Wilbur, who's a worship leader. He's done a lot of concerts in Israel. He's gotten together with some businessmen there, and they've giving people an opportunity to be a part of Israel who don't have the opportunity to go to Israel virtually. Now, I had a chance to go to Israel. I highly recommend if you ever have the opportunity to go to Israel. I know, Pat, you've been to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's a holy land. I mean, It's amazing how all of these things you read in the Bible, you're seeing with your own eyes, but it's also a land in different parts of the land. You feel the spiritual oppression.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing feeling. At one side, you're amazed and filled with awe that Jesus actually walked on this path, or this is where allegedly, they say he was, buried, and
All
these different places and stuff that you see. At the same time, you're feeling the oppression in certain these places that you go. But CBN's reporting about a way that every person who cannot go to Israel at the moment can participate and be in Israel virtually in a cool way. I want you to listen to this.
Welcome back to the CBN News Channel. Many Christians around the world may never have an opportunity to visit the Holy Land.
But now a new project could enable them to have a presence there overlooking the biblical Sea of Galilee. CBN Middle East Bureau Chief Chris Mitchell explains.
For decades, Paul Wilbur has been known around the world for his messianic music and worship concerts. Now he's joining Israeli entrepreneurs in a business venture to give Christians a chance to be part of Israel, even if they can't afford to visit.
And I'm part of a new startup business here in Israel called Face to Zion, which is a web-based ministry, really, of uniting Christian Zionist believers from around the world by the web.
On the Face to Zion website, participants become part of an Israel Lovers mosaic by choosing to belong to one of the 12 biblical tribes. They upload their pictures and send a message to the site for free. Part of the planned project would enable Christians to have a presence here by paying a small fee and having their pictures burned into a glass panel using Israeli technology. Partners say the pictures would become part of a future 12-tribe mosaic monument near the Sea of Galilee.
We love Israel. We were born here. It's nature. It's natural, but to see so many people who were born in South America, in the United States, in Netherlands, and they love so much, and they upload pictures to our mosaic.
Wilbur met with his Israeli partners in Tel Aviv recently. He says wherever he goes, Christians want to visit Israel and ask how they can help the Jewish state. He believes Face to Zion will enable them to have a united voice for Israel.
When you become a voice, a large voice, now you can speak to nations. I mean, this can become almost a movement, of lovers of Zion from all over the world. And Face to Zion can speak to the government of Belgium or
of France. Make a statement to the White House.
I'm traveling all around the world. I heard a lot of nasty things about Israel. There are so many, so, you know, big amount, huge amount of people, population all around the world that loves Israel. Why not to make them in one place that can be the voice, that be a shofar for Israel?
According to Wilbur, that will help to counter the bad press Israel gets and enable Christian Zionists to speak out for Israel. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Tel Aviv.
Wonderful idea. I'd love to do that.
I would love to do that as well.
That's amazing. This is so cool. Everyone gets a chance to get a chance to be in Israel.
Yeah.
You can send your picture, your little message, and they will burn that picture on a glass. They'll stain it on a glass, and they're looking to do, and we'll have this video available for you on the torch, but it looks like a beautiful mosaic on the Sea of Galilee. I've been on the Sea of Galilee. It's gorgeous. That will look so awesome there. That will look so cool. Beautiful. And what a great way to show our love, our support for Israel, for the Jewish people. And right now you can go to facetozion.com. And right now already, they just got started. They have 49,177 pictures of people that have sent their pictures already.
Yeah.
They've already joined. They just got started with this. So this is really, really awesome. It's a great way to connect, a great way for a partnership. And it helps you to realize that although you hear, you know, in the news, many nations and people that hate Israel, there's so many people all around the world that love Israel. And there's many believers. I mean, believers in this country, believers all around the world that have an amazing love. And what a great way for us to partner with them and do that. It's a really class act.
That's awesome.
And it gives us an opportunity to show the world. When you have a picture, that's what monuments speak. When you have a picture that is you know, there, it shouts to the world. When you have this monument and say X amount of millions of people sent the picture and the message and paid for it, and it's standing out there. I mean, we have monuments all over our country because they tell a story. You know, you look at the Washington Monument. You look at the monument with Abraham Lincoln. You go to all these different places. Thomas Jefferson, I believe, has a monument. You see these things. They speak about the nation. They speak about the principles. And it points to something. It's a sign. And when you see something like that in Israel, it's a sign. It's pointing to saying, listen, we will stand with Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not just one country, all over the world. Together we stand as one. We stand as one. And I encourage you to support Israel more than ever. They're looking now at the possibility of war on every side of them. The civil war looks like it could spill over at any moment there, so they have heightened alert.
From Syria.
From Syria. Mm-hmm. And they're also looking at opportunities to recognize what's happening there in Iran. There's an arsenal, a nuclear arsenal that they're talking about that needs to be exposed. And we have a segment that we want to share with you that we'll go ahead and talk about here in a minute. But it's so important when we recognize and understand that this is a serious, serious deal. This is a serious deal. We want to stand with Israel. We want to make sure that we stand firm. We're going to play this for you real quick.
A top Israeli official warns that Iran is planning on building more than just a nuclear bomb. It wants to build an arsenal of nuclear weapons. Israel's Strategic Affairs Minister Yuval Steinitz says Iran's goal is to produce dozens of nuclear bombs each year.
We are speaking about an historical game changer. It's going to change the world. It's going to create a dangerous new world, totally different than today. It's going to have terrible, dramatic effect, not just on the Middle East and Israel, but also on Europe and the United States and beyond.
Steinitz says international sanctions against Iran are significant, but it's not enough to make Iran abandon its goal of a nuclear arsenal.
So what can we do? You're hearing them say that, listen, it's an arsenal. It's not one. It's not two. This is serious. And remember last year when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, actually earlier this year, he came to the UN and drew the red line and saying we've got to be able to stop this before they're able to produce this you know, weapon here that's going to aimed right at us.
Yeah.
We can continue to pray. That's why I love projects like Face to Zion. It shows solidarity. It shows that we're together. And when believers are standing with Israel, it makes all the difference in the world. And we want you to be encouraging. You can support other ministries like Do Get Ministries in Israel and Tel Aviv, as well as Kufi.
Kufi, yeah.
Christians United for Israel. When you see organizations like that that love Israel, that love the people of God, I'm telling you something, it makes such a tremendous difference. Yeah. It makes such a tremendous difference. Also, be active on Facebook because you'll see different things that will come out when you like the Kufi's Facebook page. We encourage you to do that. You can continue to post things virally and they'll go a whole lot faster. But keep Israel in your prayer. There's things that are happening on every side. And if we keep watch, if we stay alert, I'm telling you, we're going to see good things happening. But sometimes the darkest moments have to happen before good can come out of it. Mm. We want to encourage you, stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. Share VFN Radio with your friends. Continue to share what is happening every day. Things are changing around the world so rapidly. I'm telling you, right now they're changing so rapidly. At any moment, things can turn on a dime. And what you want to do, don't take anything for granted. You want to be ready. You want to be alert. You want to be prepared.
Yeah.
Because when things shift, I mean, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the shift. And that's not the time to get prepared. That's not the time to get educated. That's not the time to say, what was that website again? What organization?
Right.
I'm trying to get on the torch now. Look, research it.
Yeah.
Listen, he who stands for Israel, he doesn't sleep or slumber. God is the true Iron Dome. You know what the Iron Dome is? Is the hand of God covering over Israel. Listen, no weapon formed against them, we pray and believe, will prosper. And we want to stand with everyone that will stand with Israel. Face to Zion.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.